Like to say good morning to everyone. God bless you in the spirit of Christ. I thank God again for another wonderful day, day that the Lord have made, and we're rejoicing and we're glad in it. Amen. What a wonderful day in the Lord, and what a wonderful day to be alive, and a wonderful day to be saved and to be here with one another in this period of worship. Amen. The greatness of God and the love of God, the salvation of God and the redemptive plan of God is all playing a role in our being in this place this morning. So what I'd like for you to do is just help me just give God an awesome big thank you by putting our hands together and tell the Lord that we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, so much for everything and for all things. Amen. We are somewhat a few minutes delayed this morning, but oh, thank God we made it. Amen. The things that we pray for and we ask God for comes with a great deal of responsibility. Amen. And the emergencies sometime can be a bit overwhelming for a minute. I was all plans to be up this morning and have good time to come in at my leisure and make ready for morning worship, but because of circumstances, you get up and you have to take care of what God have given you. Amen. I just to say more specifically, I got up this morning and home on the range, we had to get up this morning and take care of some things that just come with having animals and stuff like that. Amen. So thank God we started small. We didn't start off with cows and stuff like that and horses. But when I went to Tractor Supply, the man said, do you know that 90% of our customers are coming in here because they have an emergency with their animals? And I was like, oh my gosh. I was thinking mine was bad. I'd start thanking God it ain't as bad as it could be. Amen. But nevertheless, we're here, and thank you all for being patient and making your way here. It's exciting. I'm excited today. I had to, and you have to consciously, that's a good place to start. You're required to consciously calm yourself in a peace that God give you when situations arise, especially when they come surprisingly so or unexpectedly so. You have to consciously remind yourself, calm down. Amen. Just calm down, because the immediate response is to just be so overwhelmed that you just get yourself in a condition. And Mom used to say this when you cry. She said, you're going to make yourself sick. And of course, as a kid, you didn't know crying. Now, is that going to make me sick? I'm crying because it's a problem. But they were basically saying you can get so overwhelmed that it just really just make everything in your body start to malfunction. So it is, but last week we learned that, and that's what we're going to move from this week to this week, is where we were coming from, where we were last week, and that was from, I think it was John 14, and also Ephesians chapter 4 as well, where Jesus says that I'm telling you these things while that I'm still here with you. I need to let you know this in person before I depart, that I have gone to the Father on your behalf and prayed to him that he will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will comfort you, and he will teach you, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. Which says that what I'm saying right now to you, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he's going to remind you that I told you while I was here. He says that I'm leaving with you a peace. that the world cannot give to you. Amen. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot learn it. It is from God a peace that the world cannot give. In other cases or places in the Bible, it is a peace that is called a peace that passes all understanding, meaning that there is no way you can even comprehend the magnitude and the measures of the peace that God has given unto you. And then now he went farther in Ephesians, and Paul says concerning all of this overwhelming and stressful situations, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, for he has been given unto you and sealed you until the day of his return. But you're not to grieve him, meaning you shouldn't, if you are put in a situation where you're overwhelmed, as quick as you can, seek the peace of God. So, and I believe that God is so particular about us, is that when I stress myself out, that I'm stressing the Holy Spirit out. Yeah. He doesn't want me stressed, and he doesn't want me stressing him. Amen. So now today I want to, and that was from the subject, lighten your load. That was from last week. And this week, the part two of that, or second installment to what we discussed last week, we go a little farther, we dig a little deeper, and we are seeking to receive from God even a greater revelation as we go a little bit farther concerning our faith in God and our behavior and what we set ourselves up and how we conduct ourselves on a daily basis concerning the things that are coming at us. And I can get a witness in here. Stuff is coming in rapid successions, quickly. Trouble is on every hand. You can be a person of peace, and trouble will find you, seek you out, like you have some type of magnetic attraction to just trouble. No matter how much you avoid it, it's just like the scripture said, trouble is on every hand. Amen. And you have a responsibility to maintain a Christ-like behavior no matter what comes your way. Today, in this second installment, Lighten the Load, there is no better person than the person of Job that we can extract and extrapolate from his life things that will help us when it comes to having a problematic life. It's an age-old question that has been asked, why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things seem to happen to bad people? To set this up, we must understand that the book of Job is not placed in time based on its chronological order, because you will discover that Job is in and around the poetic books that are the book of Psalms and other books of poetry. But that is not the timing of Job, or Job did not live during that period of time. Factually, Job's life is from the very beginning, which would be in the placement of the book of Genesis, during the period of the patriarchs. This is of importance because, and the reason that we can deduce that it is during the period of Adam and Noah and Abraham, because you'll read in the text that Job made a sacrifice for himself. And the only time that an individual made a sacrifice for themselves was during the time of the patriarchs, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would not have later, because this would not have been permitted, or this was not the divine order, that a man would make a sacrifice for himself. And Job made several sacrifices for himself. Now, that means that when I say that good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, this is something that has concerned us since the beginning of time. It's not something recent. It's not just happening now to you, where you wonder sometime why when I do all the very best that I can, why is it that bad things seems to come my way? This question has been asked throughout history. At one time or another, it crosses the human mind as to why it is that I, with great effort to do good things, that I still have to deal with so many negative issues. That question has been asked throughout history. Job, particularly, who now is dated back from the very time of the creation of man, bad things happen to what, all for all we know, was a really good man. It's particularly now intense when we think about bad things happening to us. It gets even more intense for the child of God, or a person who is endeavoring to live a life of honesty, live a life of discipline and decency. It gets really, really intense, or it is intensified for you or for any other person that have to look around at people who put forth no effort at all and do nothing to live right, and yet still they seem to just advance. And that makes matters worse. It's not that you don't want things to go good for them, but it almost causes you to say what David said: my foot almost slipped. I'm not hating on you because things are going good for you and you don't do anything good, but I kind of know what David meant in Psalm 73 when he said my foot almost slipped, which simply means that I almost lost the faith when I really looked at the way things are working out. I almost just went on and just threw in the towel and said, you know what? I give up on faith. Somebody say, almost slip. Now, don't look real sanctified. Don't get real holy sitting there looking at me. There has been at least a second in your life where you wanted to say, God, I'll holler later. It's okay. God ain't mad at you because you did, but somebody say it did happen. What really pushed it forward was when I looked at others, that while I'm trying to quit, I'm trying to stop, I'm trying to do better, and they put forth no effort whatsoever, but seems as though things are going well. Now, Job is not only going through something. He's not only having to deal with trouble on every hand. He's not only having to deal with the objections that pose such difficulty in life. But Job is also having to deal with his friends. Yes. And of course, what they are doing now is they are adding insult to injury. They are putting salt in the wound. It's like, man, it's already hard enough. And now here come my friends. And y'all let me do this today. I'm going to call them your friends because you're the one who said they were your friends. So now I'm going to be talking about the friends that you have chosen to make your friend. Don't get mad at me because you got friends like Job. I didn't pick them. You did. You permitted them to get close enough to feel the freedom to say what they wanted to say when they got ready to say it. And now you all mad and you've been out of shape and you're trying to delete them and block them and everything else. But you picked those friends. And friends are people that we select to support and to have support. And Job is going through. And here comes his friends. One of his friends called him a liar. The other two called him a hypocrite. You don't have friends like that. Your friends are always there, propping you up, leaning you up, helping you out. They are treating you like true love of a true friend. No better person than myself. Y'all don't have friends like Job that get behind your back and have a discussion about you and say negative things about you. So you all just sit back and hold on while some of us have a real to life conversation. We have embraced and we have equitized friends that are something. I have equitized friends that are like Job. I assessed and evaluated them as my friends, thinking that they were going to make life better. But now I have discovered that they have a whole lot of meetings about me. You know, I'm wondering now, and I'm going to read in a second, okay? But can I talk to y'all for a minute? When I look at this, I really want to tell Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad, that's Job's friends, you know, when Satan had what he had to say about me, you all should have just joined in with him and not wait till later and come back with the second barrel of the shotgun. When I was getting shot, why didn't you all hit me with the same slug that the devil hit me with when he was doing what he was doing? But I felt like I was going to have a little cushion, something to help the pushing, something to lay back on and to rest in and to make me feel better. But here it is. Sometime I'd rather the devil deal with me than my friends. Can I preach here today? And they're putting salt in the wound, and it seemed as when everything was going well, when Job had thousands of cattle, lots of houses, children, and land. Everybody was good with Job.
Yes, yes.
Job had friends coming out of the woodwork as long as everything was going well.
Yes.
And now Job is struggling. And he's struggling and have no idea why he's struggling.
Yes.
Do not know what he did to even struggle. And if you ask Job why, Job would be the first one to tell you, I don't know. For some unknown reason, I am having to endure this affliction. Now, everything was good when you had it, but now that you're going through, now my friends want to turn into theologians. They want to be preachers with great insight. And they are now deciding for themselves just why Job is having to do and go through what he has to go through. But you all don't have friends like that. But I find it interesting that even when I can't hear from God, you got so much to say. How is it that you know and God hadn't even said anything to me? And I can hear from you every day about what's wrong with me, but the one who made me hadn't told me nothing yet about myself. Don't push me now. Don't push me. If any pushing, the Holy Ghost gonna push me now. But stay with me. You see, everybody seems to know why you're going through, and God hadn't said a word yet. And they just calling each other and texting each other, and they got so much to say about why. And every now and then, your ear gets wind of that. Mm-hmm. And now you got that to deal with, on top of the idea that the objection of all of this stuff is going bad at the same time. And don't that make you feel bad? I'm trying to put you in Job's place. I want Job to come to the room today to tell you that you're not the first one that had to deal with stuff and people. Uh-huh. So as Job is struggling and he's fighting to find a place to feel this comfort, Job needs some peace. He needs peace. I just need some peace. God's not talking to him, and his friends are mocking him, and they are belittling him. And he still has to live within the parameters of the difficulty, and he has to find peace with God. So in chapter 13, I think I told y'all to read Job 7. For all of y'all that was having sleep insomnia and problems waking up with crazy thoughts on your mind, I told y'all to read that. And so you read 7. And you already talked to you about that. So I'm going to read Job 13. It's interesting. Last week, we had technical difficulties and no one was able to stream. But Sister Gloria Tucker. So now we'll have to, y'all have to take that up with God. Because I have no idea how it is that no one else could get online. But Sister Tucker texted me before I got out to church and told me what I was preaching about. Now, okay, that's a mystery. So she probably read Job 7, so and wasn't here, all right? But we're going to go to 13, and beginning at verse 1, we pick up, and it sounds a little ambiguous in the way that it sounds, but you all kind of, and you got your own translation, so you're going to be hearing what you're reading in your own head. We pick up on Job dealing with the components that make up his current situation. Job is going to, in 13, he criticizes his friends. Number 2, he expresses his continued confidence in God. And number 3, he directly addresses God. I'm about to read. Lo, mine eyes hath seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood it. Why, ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether just hold your peace, which is translated, if y'all would just shut up. Uh-huh. And it should be your wisdom to do so. Hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pledgings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do you mock him? He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrance are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though ye slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Let's all say verse number 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I want to talk about lightening the load too. Lighten the load too. The whole issue in the book of Job surrounds faith. Everything and all principles of spiritual reasoning moves from the principle of faith into the embodiment of Job. In light of my teachings to you over some long period of time, that faith is not something that you have, but faith is my identity. My faith chases storms. Everyone and each one of us in here have an idiosyncratic or a distinctive, very special faith that is a unique faith to only yourself. Faith is like a fingerprint. It's yours. No matter how great preachers have stood before you have been, no matter how wonderful they were with teaching you and explaining to you the Word of God, you have a very distinctive and unique faith, a very special faith that is unique to anyone else. Faith is like a fingerprint. And no matter how great of a teacher that I am, I cannot teach you to believe. I need that to soak in. No matter how great of a teacher, how close I am to God, how deep my anointing is, I cannot teach you to believe. I can teach you as a believer, but I cannot teach you belief. Because faith cometh by hearing. And if you hear anything, it will come from the Word of God and not I, because I cannot teach you to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is God who speaks to you. I know you hear me, but if there is any clarity, if there is any understanding to anything that is said, that must come from God. God has to stimulate the initial contact when the petals of my word fall fresh upon your ears. You realize that while you hear it, what God causes you to understand is uniquely different from the person whom you're sitting so close to that you're touching them, even holding their hands. But what you hear and what you understand is uniquely different one to the other. God makes the initial contact to all of us. And out of that initial contact, what we have to do individually is we have to embrace that contact that God makes with us. Because when God does come through to you, you will never see him with your eyes, but you will fully understand him with your faith. I cannot duplicate your faith. Neither can I duplicate your concepts of God. You can have the same teacher. You can have the same preacher. We can read the same Bible. But every one of us will have our own concept of God. And obviously, can I make this clear? God does not mind that. That your concept of God is different from your brother or your sister's or your wife or your child's concept of God. He does not mind that. He has not shown up to give us a description of himself. So the way that each of us describe God is going to be different one to the other. But he spoke to us individually in our own circumstance, because while we're both in the same pit, the same ditch, we have a different attitude about being in the ditch. In our environment, we are all feeling the same heat from the same sun. But the effects of it is different one to the other. So when I think about the circumstances that are here now in the environment that we are in, through the events of our own individual lives, we have formed a unique fingerprint faith. We have developed a unique concept of God that is based on our personal circumstances. Oh, I need so much for you to get this. You see, when my faith convinces me and causes me to identify myself as one who knows that God is a way maker. Your faith may be telling you, I don't know how I'm going to make it. We're living in the same house. We have the same last name, eating the same food. But while you feel trapped, I feel free as a bird. Yes. It gets better. You see, it's easy to recite Abraham's faith fingerprint. He called God Jehovah Jireh. And now you're running around calling God Jehovah Jireh based on Abraham's faith fingerprint. But what I really want to ask you is, have you ever had to take your only son? Have you ever had to take your last one, the only one that you got? And your faith tells you to take the last little bit that you have that you worked hard for, that came out of your body, and bring it to a sacrifice and offer it up to God. And you think that you're going to be able to declare Jehovah Jireh? You're not Abraham. Y'all feel me right there. You see, I'm convinced then, because of the fact that we marvel at each other's unique faith. You're looking at mine and I'm scoping yours out. We are sometimes astounded when we look at one another's faith, when we look at the faith of another, sometimes it astounds us. We are amazed when we look at someone else's faith. God has allowed you a faith that is so unique that he can look at you and say these words: your faith has made you whole. And here I am over here, and I got faith, and I'm ragged as a can of kraut. Broke up, tore up from the flow up, and God told you your faith made you whole. Now you're looking at me sideways, side-eyed, because we're in the same ditch, but I got a whole different attitude about the ditch because I'm coming up out of here. And I'm just passing through the ditch, but you have set up camp to stay in the ditch, and you can't get mad at me because every day I get up, I say, I was glad when they said unto me. Don't get mad because I have a praise in the midst of all that I'm having to deal with, because God has allowed you a faith that is so unique that he can declare that your faith, somebody say my faith, has made me whole. You don't have no T.D. Jakes faith. You don't have no Creflo Dollar faith. You don't have no Keenan faith. You don't have no Jamal Bryant faith, but your faith has made you whole. Now, don't fool yourself. You got some faith. Go ahead and say, I got some faith. You have some faith. You've got some faith because you got up this morning, and by virtue of you being here, you got faith. We have now what is called a corporate relationship with God. We are all in here together. Who brought us here? Our faith has driven us here together. You can ask me to get in the car. You can't make me get in the car. You asked me, and my faith allowed me to get in the car, because I could have gotten what you got if I still had have stayed at home. And you can't get mad that my faith got me where I can tune in, but you can't get the signal. I'm going to leave that alone, but I just keep messing with it, Gloria Tucker. I just don't know. And I'm not going to get mad when you can control radio frequencies and all of that. I'm good at it. I can work well with Wi-Fi. I can work with cellular broadband. I can connect Z-Waves, and I can deal with a whole lot of electronic connectivity, but I can't figure that one out, because what my machines told me is nobody got the broadcast, but somehow you did, and you stayed at home, but we had to show up. But I ain't mad. You see, we all have a corporate relationship with God. And a relationship that I have with God, and the relationship that I have with you, we have all a relationship together. So faith is what have brought us together. Clap your hands and say amen. Now, we represent the body of Christ here all together, because we are a group of born again, baptized believers in Christ. Now, you can call it the church, you can call it what you want to, but I am a believer, and my faith identifies who I am. I am not a nation's harvester. I am not a Baptist. I am not Pentecostal. I ain't none of that. I have spent that wheel and enough of that. I am a true believer in Jesus Christ. Are y'all here now? So we have this corporate relationship, but it does not deny or make void the unique, idiosyncratic relationship that we have individually. So, and when I say idiosyncratic, it simply means unique. So we are here together, but we all have our unique faith. Say amen. That's important, and that's critical now, because most of the time, other believers do not understand your circumstance. But your circumstances are really put into place by your faith. People say they don't understand you, but what they really don't understand is they don't understand the series of circumstances that you have had to endure. Help me, Holy Ghost. You see, even though believers and others don't know or even understand the matrix of your problems, they want to speak in the name of God concerning your problems, but they really don't know what you're going through. They really don't know what you're having to deal with. So they'll say dumb stuff like, yeah, I got children too. Yeah, but you get it. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. I've been there too. Child went at it. No. Yeah, just because we're here together and we're all believers, you got to understand that in the matrix of my problems are based on what my faith is set up to deal with. Y'all, am I clear right there? You see, yeah. So they feel like certain things really shouldn't have ever happened in your life. And they'll look at you and they'll give you this question like, how did you ever get yourself in that shape? How do you ever let that happen to you? Yeah, they do. Yeah, believers and other folk, they'll come. How did you get that? And then they'll end it with this. And you're supposed to have faith. And now here you are with all of these problems and things. So that's because they are judging your life by their life. And they are ignoring the fact that we all have our own unique faith. And my faith is set up based on my circumstances that God has already pre-approved. What makes me fat will kill you, and what will kill you will make me fat. That, you see, I can't be cloned by you and what you think about me. Y'all, some of y'all know where I'm going with this. I can't be cloned by what you think about me and what you think I ought to do. I'm supposed to live within the parameters of my own history with God. I've got to live in the parameters of me knowing that I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen his seed to beg bread. You sitting here hungry and I'm tight as a tit. Talk today, Holy Ghost. I'm supposed to live within the parameters of my history with God. Bread of heaven, feed me till I won't. Y'all can tell I feel this morning. I ain't preaching. I'm talking about where I live. You see, David could not have ever been victorious wearing Saul's armor. And that's what a whole lot of us do. And the mistake that we make, we'll take other people's idea about us, put it on, and try to make it. And you look like a new something with somebody else's life, and you're trying to live it out. Here you are trying to live housewives from Decatur. What's happening in Decatur, Alabama? I don't know what's going in Decatur. I live in Fauxfall. I work in Decatur. I show up, go to work, clock out, and go home. I don't know what the heck going on across town. Who shot John and who married who? Who got come out of somebody's back door? I'm dealing with my own set of circumstances. Clap your hands in this house today if you got faith. You see, David could have no more been victorious in Saul's armor no more than I can be healed with your judgment about my sickness. You gonna tell me why I got what I got and why I'm going through. You know, it's hereditary. You got the curse of your forefathers. The devil is a lie. You take that back on over there where y'all teach that stuff over there. The curse has been destroyed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not suffering from the sins of my forefathers. I'm not drinking because my forefathers was an alcoholic. I'm dealing with my own set of lust and my own circumstances. Y'all talk back to me in here. You see, there has to be a divine entrance to guide the discussion about our human lives. I'm going to say that slower. We have to have God come in on a situation if we're going to discuss our life. And if God don't come in, then there is nothing to be said. Amen. God has to be invited in. And if God can't come, I won't be there either. If God doesn't come, and when my faith show up, God is there. And if I can't bring God, I will not RSVP. You see, only he can give uniqueness to my understanding. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Everybody that call you and everybody want you to pray for them, you don't accept every invitation. That's another sermon. But you don't be accepting all these invitations with your big holy self. You want to be big. You want to be dynamic. Everybody to come to you, you want to put your hands on them, and you letting everybody put their hands on you and everything. They ain't washed them. And so you have to invite God in. Yeah, because only he can give uniqueness to so that you can understand. So here's the entrance now. He wants to express to me my identity by my faith. So now he's going to come in on every situation. What you got here? I see what you got. And he don't always just say anything right away. I got a pain and it ain't getting no better. It ain't getting better. It's getting worse. The woman with the issue of blood had to drip for 30 long years. And then Jesus showed up and just healed it in 30 seconds. Hear what I'm saying? 30 years. Now she heard nothing. Spent all she had. And instead of getting better, come on somebody, she got worse. Oh, but when God made the entrance and had something to say, God said, "Who touched me?" Yeah, y'all get what I'm saying here. See, I really need you to understand this. When God turns the light on me, and when God turns the light on you, you have to clearly understand who you are to God. I'm sitting in the dark, but now God has shined a light on me. Now, when the light comes on, Eddie, you can see your problems better. What did you just say, preacher? Some stuff that hadn't bothered you all along, all of a sudden, now it bothers you. But who turned the light on in the first place? God did. Now I got to pay attention to something I have previously been able to ignore. Yeah. And now that the light is on it, I can see it. And guess who else can see it? Everybody else can see it too. And now everybody's zeroed in, focused on my problems, because God has brought it to the light. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all with me? Clap your hands if you're with me. I think we going somewhere now. I'm going to the mountaintop. And in the midst of my circumstance, I must clearly and unequivocally come to know who I am to God in my own life's experience. But the way God does it now is that when he turns the light on, you don't want nobody to know it, but everybody might see it. Now here it is. The first people that see it are the people you live with. Job's wife saw it and told Job, "You may as well go ahead, curse God and die." So who you're living with, they may not get it, but don't get mad at them. They just don't understand it. Don't leave them. Don't divorce them. Don't quit them. Don't block them. It's just that they don't yet understand. But you ain't gonna keep talking foolish.
I will impart Ecclesiastes. There is a time to embrace, and there is a time to refrain from embracing. You don't have to go to the dog house. I'll go to the cat house. But right now, we can't stay in the same room, because what you got to say about what you see don't line up with who I am. And until God comes in, I ain't hearing what nobody's saying. Can I preach in this room today? I have to understand who I am to God. So now, how do I deal with that? If God is dealing with you, I ought to stand back in the amen corner. And I ought to stand there and let you know, I'm right here. If you ever need somebody to holler back at, I'm still saying amen. Hold what you got. I know you can do it. Don't batter me. Don't bruise me. Just stand by and let it be amen. And it is so. Come on, somebody. And if you even say this to me, I can live with that. You can't. But God can. I can shout on that. If you holler at me, God is able, I'll even say amen myself. If you tell me that I know that he can, I'll amen that myself. But when you go to talking foolish, you've got to understand that you may as well close your eyes to what I'm going through. It does not matter the details of my suffering. And see, people want to know details. They want to know why you're crying. Who made you cry? Not because they want to dry your tears. They want to know what they said and what they did so that they can know now how to better manipulate you. Who made you cry? That's because they ain't ever been able to make you cry. You got to watch who is really showing a concern. I'm preaching the whole thing now. I may as well go ahead in the Holy Ghost, because I'm in too deep to come out now. You see, it does not matter the details of my suffering, so don't ask for any details, because I ain't heard from God yet. Tell your neighbor, when I hear from God, I'll let you know. You see, when I hear from God about my problems, I have to come to know now that God has put the light on it, because he wants me to know where I stand with him. Here is your problems, but I am God. And just because the ship is sinking, everybody on board is not going to drown. Holy Ghost. You see, I don't care how close we are. It is as though Peter said to the other disciples, you guys, I love y'all. I know I've been walking with y'all. I've been hanging tough with y'all. But the ship is going down. So I tell y'all what I'm going to do. Y'all can do what y'all want to do. But I see yonder Jesus. And that's when Peter said, Lord, if it be you, let me come out to you on the water. Now you see, your faith didn't tell you, so you probably go ahead. But my faith says, don't stay on the boat. So now when you see me walking on what seems to be impossible, don't try to hold me, because my faith now is ordering my steps in the Lord. So now I'm going to be able to do what should be, and for all matters, it should be scientifically impossible. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't go out there, Don. You're going to sink. Don't step out of the boat, Don. You're safe in here. Oh, no. My faith has just been jolted by Jesus' presence. And the Lord said one word. He didn't say two. He said one word, and that was come. Do you hear? And before he could get the E out of C-O-M, I had one leg already ready to go ahead and go. I ain't gonna make it to the end, because the end has made it to me now. I ain't gonna be able to preach the whole thing, y'all, because I'm shot. I shot myself right there. I put one foot up and here comes the other one. And that's what faith does. It puts one foot before the other. So now here I am, identifying who I am in God. And you think I'm foolish because you don't understand that God has turned a light on my circumstance. And he's not trying to destroy me. He's trying to show me something about himself. It's when you lean on me, I'll hold your foot before it sinks. Not why the Bible said when Peter began to sink, that means he never sunk, Jock, but he had to have had one foot on the water. Now can I close by asking somebody that's in this room, do you feel like that you have one foot out on the water and you don't know how you're going to make it? But I need somebody to say, God has lightened my load. Now shake off all of that word that's telling you you can't make it. Text your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it's too late now. I've already stepped out on faith. They tried to stop me back in the 90s at Moulton Heights, but one foot kept on moving me a little closer and a little closer. Can you say amen?
That's it. That's it. And the Holy Ghost says, you say, why you want to stop right there, man? Because there's so much more meat in this. And you so tight right now that see you about to shout and trying to run, but you're trying to compose yourself. But really, you really want to holler out in this room right now. Because when you think on the goodness of Jesus and everything that I just talked about, you say, man, you talking my kind of talk right now. All you've done today is you have stood in the corner while I'm going through. And Don, I just heard you say amen. So that means that I'm going to go on and I'm going to hold on and I'm going to keep on. It's too late now, Gloria. I'm already on my way out. And it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And y'all know I'm not going to be mad at you because you don't come with me. But it's too late now. I've already committed who I am because God showed me who he was. And no matter how hard it gets, I'm going to keep on. It's too late now, Janet. It's too late now. It's too late now. It's too late now. It's too late now. I'm already. Come on, Eddie. I've already put it in motion. I'm already on my way. The devil in hell, he can't hold me back. 16 stones may break my bones. Oh, God. But your words, they couldn't hold me back. Come on. Tell your neighbor the best have tried. And they fail. So you can forget it. I'm going to hold on. So what we need to do is we need to lock arms in faith. Where are my two? Come on here, Derek. Come on here, Cash. Y'all bring some faith with you. And if you ain't got no faith, don't come up here. But if you got some faith, and it's your own faith, lock your faith with my faith. Come on, son. Put it right in there. And you lock your faith with my faith. But all of us got our own individual faith. Am I right about it? That's why the Bible says a three-strand cord is stronger than one. Get somebody close to you. Lock them in the arm and say, together we stand, but divided we fall. I'm going to hang
on in here. I'm going to hang on in here. I'm going to hang on in here. Come hell or high water, I'm going to hang on in here. Say yeah! Yeah!
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I couldn't finish that rest. Ain't got nothing left. I done burned it all up talking about God. But that happened. That's been happening all my life. I burn up everything I got talking about God. Whew! I wasn't going to miss this morning. That's why I started calling y'all, telling y'all I was going to be late. But I sure wasn't going to miss it. Because I had something on my chest that I had to get out about God. And that is that my faith identifies who I am. Oh, God Almighty. I look on my father-in-law for the last 2 months laying in the bed. That's his faith in God. What he dealing with would have took me out a month ago. You'd already had my funeral eat in the repast and already start to forget about me. And here he is in his faith still holding on. Gloria laying over there. Can't get up and go when she wanna go. I'd be done told them to give me something to take me on out of here. But here she is, done showed up, and when she can't show up, she connect with God and say, I need a word. So God go mess with the electronics and let the word come on through. Somebody say, he can do it. I promise you he can. I promise you he did. He can. And he will. Yeah. He is able. That's information. He did it. That's divine. You tell me able, you gave me some information. I show you that he did. That's divine. Every one of us is here right now because we are identified by our faith. And you know what I like about being here with y'all group of faith? Is y'all don't gore me with the stories of what you had to go through. Nobody want to hear all that. We all been through. You got your story, I got mine. We don't need the details. Let's just sit down and have some supper and talk about we here. Can I get like Celia? I may be ugly. I may be black. But I'm here. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I don't look like what I've been through. Come on, somebody. And you don't know what I've been through. So don't be sizing me up with your analysis of looking at me and telling me what I should have done and what I ought to done. Pastor hurt down there, he oughta. That's you. You oughta. Yeah, you. I'm not, and I don't let you. You stop letting that stuff keep you up. Huh? Tell them I say, I'll help you. Roll up our sleeves together. We tell them together. Now that's enough of that. Amen? Let's lighten the load. Let's lighten the load. Amen? God bless you all. I do apologize, but you got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't mean I'm out of energy. I feel like I still got a little bit more energy, but I'm out because the Holy Spirit says yes. That's it now, okay? God bless you all, and I love you, and we needed this. We needed this. We needed it for ourselves, and we need it for those who we love. Amen. This is not a word that causes us to launch an attack on one another. This is a word that causes us to walk closer because we better understand. Amen. And I will continue to teach that because when we do separate ourselves from the world, and we're all separating ourselves from the world, and we're here together, a body of believers in Christ, we got to have that corporate faith in here with one another. We can't start, you know, tearing apart in here. We got to have that corporate faith inside here.
And the way you have that is to respect the unique faith of somebody else. Did y'all get that clear today? God set your measure of faith based on the circumstances that he authorized. Got it? It happened to you because God permitted it. Did y'all hear that in Job? Have you considered my servant Job? I already know what you're going to do before you do it. But I already know who Job is too. Oh, I wish y'all could have heard the end. Because in the end, Job said it straight. After he told him to shut up, he stood up for God. Didn't he do it? That's right. Amen. It's good to see all of y'all today and to see everyone. My love, Sister Tucker, baby, so good to see you. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Amen. It must feel good just to be here today and be able to be in this place. And that's just a good thing. I love you. I love all of you. Be faithful in your giving and sharing in your giving, all right? I love you, and I will hope to see all of you again soon. Amen. Come to your feet and tell your neighbor, my load, my load. Just got lighter. Amen. My load just got lighter. God bless y'all. I love you in the spirit of Christ.